From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the first day of December 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. A bit later in the program, we'll hear a portion of our Commodity Week program recorded yesterday afternoon. For those of you who can stick around on our home radio station for the whole hour, you'll hear all of Commodity Week. Otherwise, you can pick it up online at willag.org right now, or you'll hear it on many of these radio stations over the weekend. As we wrap up our first half hour together, we'll talk about the weather forecast too. That with Eric Snodgrass from Agribull right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Friday afternoon. We're now joined by Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Hey, good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Todd.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this marketplace and where you think we are today. Beans finished the month of November higher yesterday, not by much in the lead option contract, but they did. That was the third time in as many months, and they managed to rally again today. Why was that the case?
Well, I think the biggest driver of the whole week, outside of some of the political things and the tax bill possibly being passed here, Todd, was the crude oil market. We were able to see the crude oil make new multi-month and actually two-year highs again in the markets this week, with the extension of OPEC cuts being agreed upon by Russia and OPEC all the way through 2018. You throw on top of that the tax cuts may be getting passed here before the weekend or early next week, and I think you have the market starting to generate itself with a little bit better bias about a demand pull inflation. Now, if you take that off the table and you look more at the supply-demand fundamentals, I think the soybeans early in the week showed us they ran into a brick wall on the spreads. We just couldn't get the beans over $10 because the corn and wheat wouldn't have any of it. Corn and wheat came around very nicely on heavy deliveries, poor exports, actually outperformed in terms of sentiment and supply-demand fundamentals. And March corn, as a result, hit a three-week high, took out its 20-day moving average, and put out a high that's going to be right around the 40-day moving average and sets us up for some pretty strong medium-term resistance testing when we come back next week. So I would say beans found a home, and they saw that wheat and corn joined hands to the upside, and that allowed them to come back from the midweek lows.
So if we look back on the crude oil prices, the January contract in particular, going back to June, which is where I think their low was or thereabouts, around $44, we really have rallied substantially up to $58. Is there much more upward potential there at all?
The market believes right now that there is, and they believe that mainly because of and in conjunction with this tax cut bill that we will see aggregate demand shift and improve, because we will theoretically have more spending, and it's a fiscal stimulus. And that's what, going back all the way in the post-financial crisis, Todd, we've talked about whether the Federal Reserve monetary stimulus can get the job done or whether we need fiscal stimulus. Monetary stimulus is good for short term. We really need fiscal stimulus, whether it's infrastructure or tax decreases. That's really what it's about, I think, to the markets in terms of why would you not buy commodities like you didn't really buy in most of 2017.
So a lot is riding on what happens in Washington, D.C.
I'll tell you what, I cannot remember a time period when you have North Korea potentially letting go of another missile, which was reported today by the Japanese. You have a tax bill that is probably setting you up for either another good, strong move in the equities markets after the first of the year or going into the end of the year, or possibly putting a high in if it doesn't pass. And then you have what's going on with the former General Flynn, where he may be testifying against President Trump, and that would probably spark fresh calls of impeachment. And so the outside market fundamentals are getting more dominant, and it's scary from a standpoint of what the algorithmic traders did today in the equities markets. We saw an unbelievably big swing in a matter of minutes, much like we did with the flash crash several years back. We moved 400 points in the Dow Jones in just a matter of minutes, and that's because so much volume is being traded on computer programs now. So going into the end of the year, it's going to get more volatile, not less volatile. We just hope that the outside markets stay calm, and we see the wheat conditions continue to drop. Wheat continues to support. Corn continues to, you know, make technical headway, and the beans follow along would be my Christmas wish list.
I take it that the move wasn't fast enough or deep enough, far enough, that is, that it didn't trigger breakers for the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
Yeah, that's right. And about 15, 20 minutes after the news about Flynn came out, we got fresh news that McConnell, the head of the Senate, said that he's got the votes to pass the tax bill. And so you had kind of an offsetting fundamental, right?
Yeah. Okay. So going forward, lots of things happening. Which one do you watch? All of them? I know you do, but which one do you watch?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to watch is the North Korean feature to the market, because I don't think President Trump is going to mess up NAFTA. I've done enough research. I think he's a lot like President Teddy Roosevelt in his mindset. I don't think he wants to mess around with our borders too much more. And I think he knows that the agriculture manufacturing base got him elected. I'd be more concerned with North Korea. And maybe China has lost control of North Korea. And it's not unlike what we went through in the 70s with Iran, in terms of the Shah of Iran being a good, solid leader that we thought we could rely upon. And in the end of the day, he was not. I'm wondering whether China has not lost control of North Korea's leader. And that quite honestly makes it so unknown. That's probably the biggest priority for me.
If things fall apart there, what happens in the grains and the oil seeds?
Watch the safe havens, because we saw this week gold actually lose a big amount of money and a big amount of dollars, and silver right along with it. And I think this is a good indicator that we saw some safe haven buying in the bonds and gold today. But for the most part, the market, being technically oriented and algorithmically oriented, did not get nervous about what's going on so far. So if we get crude oil strength, dollar weakness, and gold strength, I'm not as nervous about what happens in North Korea.
Finally, livestock, feeder cattle. Why so deep the losses in both live and the feeder cattle today?
We had a really bad technical setup going into today. The box beef prices also really started to come down earlier this week. And then I think the stock market just scared people out. And you notice that the hogs really came on charging. I think the funds continue to play the cattle and the hogs like a violin right now. And they saw an opportunity to be long hogs and short cattle for the short term as a result of all these things going on.
Hey, thanks so much, and you have a good weekend.
You too, sir. Thanks for having me.
That's Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. You're listening to the Closing Market Report for a Friday afternoon. We're now joined by Eric Snodgrass. He's from Agrible. Hey, Eric, thanks so much for being with us. Let's get right to it. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend, but things might change after that. Start in the nearby and then you work your way out.
All right. So the first thing we got to be really thinking about is for about 7, maybe 10 days now, I have been watching for this pretty substantial pattern flip. And what I mean by that is we've really enjoyed the fact here in Illinois that the jet stream has been hanging out in Canada. What I mean by that is that all the cold air, which is going to be on the north side of the jet stream, has been in Canada. And even though we were over the last 30 days, we've been cooler on average, the last 10 days have been actually quite warm. In fact, it's been very warm at times, getting up into the 60s around here. And that's very, very warm compared to average. Well, all of that is about to change. And what I mean is we have a pretty big shift in the overall flow of the jet stream, such that a pretty massive cold air outbreak in the form of a deep trough is setting up over the Great Lakes. And the way it's going to be coming in is that starting, Monday into Tuesday, we need to be watching for the development of a pretty big low-pressure system that's going to go through the Great Lakes area, a little bit to the north of it, and it's going to drag a pretty big cold front through us, and so we're going to be getting quite a bit of precip to start next week. But like you said, until we get there, we're going to enjoy this warmth because we're going to be south of that jet stream. Well, after that goes through, so starting, let's call it middle of the week next week, we're going to be watching for the development of that trough, and then that trough's going to set up shop and really not let go for a while. And that's because on either side of it, So think about the west coast of the United States, and then think about Greenland. We have two large ridges that are bulging to the north. So basically, when that happens, that displaces a lot of cold air to the south. And there are some projections that may say that that pattern may stick around maybe all the way until Christmas time and maybe beyond that. Some of the longer range projections by the ECMWF, our European model, are really hinting on that pattern not really breaking down anytime soon. So that's what weather looks like around here.
Do you have any longer term projections for the winter months, and are they related to La Nina?
The big question is how is that going to set up our pattern for January, February, March? And some of the consensus in the longer range model suggests, hey, we might see a near average, potentially cooler than average, and more stormier in terms of winter storm track through the Ohio River Valley. So that's been a pretty consistent picture we've been painting now on these Friday updates for a few months. And so it's still coming in that way. So I'm watching it closely.
And from Brazil or South America?
Yeah, so if we talk about South America, the bigger picture idea here is we know that it was dry early and then the rains have come in. And boy, has it been raining. The next 10 days for the center part of Brazil, so think Mato Grosso, Goiás, the Tocantins, getting down into Mato Grosso do Sul, that area is just getting hammered with rain. But down in Argentina, things have been drying out a little bit. Sometimes they haven't gotten any rain, but it's drying out. And what the longer range models have been suggesting is that January, February, and March may carry a dry bias for western parts of Mato Grosso, the Goiás and Tocantins area, and also maybe for Argentina as well. Now, we've been able to see this for a few weeks coming. What will be crucial, and this is why next Friday will be an important day update for you and I, is that we'll get a brand new set of long-range projections from multiple modeling groups as the new month arrives, and that'll really kind of set the overall pace for what we're expecting the rest of the growing season to be. So we need to be on the lookout for the potential for some drier than average conditions for South America moving forward.
Hey, Eric, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Eric Snodgrass, of course. He's with Agrible, joins us here on the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.